Good morning and welcome to this day's edition of the program, this AM live broadcast of Radio Biafra on this day, the 7th of February 2015. We are reaching you from London, Manchester, Channel 4, and this is in continuation of yesterday's program in memory of Professor Innocent Odenbo, who will be committed to the Mother Earth later today. And of course, we have the IPOB United States chapter, of course, ably present in that funeral occasion. We enjoin all Biafrans to pay respect to give Professor Innocent Odenbo the respect that he deserves, because he has given us and the world a lot to think about. This is Radio Biafra live broadcast, and this is the AM edition, and we are here doing what we have pledged to do, to continue the dissemination of the information regarding the unadulterated restoration of the sovereign state of Biafra. Once again, from wherever you are listening, whether you are on Radio Biafra platform or on RBA World platform, they are the same. And together, we will do justice to this morning's edition of the program. Stay tuned.
Ndi nke ya nabataghị ya. Ndi Juu horo onye ori, ma onye nzọpụta ha ikpe. Christ bịakutere ndi nke ya. Ndi nke ya nabataghị ya. Ndi Juu horo onye ori, ma onye nzọpụta ha ikpe. Taa, ndi Juu echegharịala. Mgbe Maazị Mbonu Ojike gburu onye ọcha dị n'ime ya, wee yiri omenala ndị isi ojii. Nigeria ahụghị mmadụ n'ime nwoke a. Ha aghọtaghị ihe ọ na-ekwu. Ma taa, Nigeria echetụla Ojike. Mgbe Lumumba chọrọ njikọ Congo, ndị Congo kpọrọ ya onye ara. Soro Shombe na ndị ọcha bufuo nwa afọ. Taa, Congo echetụla Lumumba. Mgbe Nkuruma gbapụtara Ghana, chọọ ka Afrịka niile nwere onwe ha. Mgbe o kwuru na onye ọcha ya ga-atụkwasị obi bụ naanị nke nwụrụ anwụ, Ghana aghọtaghị. Ghana wee chụpụ nna ha n'ụlọ. Nna ha nọrọ na mba nwụọ. Taa, Ghana echetụla nna ha. Kedu ndị m ga-ekwu? Kedu ndị m ga-ahapụ? Otu ọ dị ndị Juu, Naịjirịa, Congo na Ghana, ka ọ dị mba Afrịka niile. Afrịka, o chetara onye sirile ha nri mgbe ha richara? Ndo. Ikuku na-atụ oyi. Ụgbọala na-anaghị akụ mgbarịmgba. Onye ori. Oke na-enweghị onye na-agaghị eketa ya. Ọnwụ. O metụrụ onye ọbụla n'ụra. O mere ụzụ tọọ n'obodo. O mere dịka ọgụ, obe akwa ka nwata. O jide dike n'ala, ọ dịka ebe ji nwaanyị. Onye isi na-anaghị ahụ ụzọ. Onye na-enweghị nsọpụrụ ebe onye ọbụla nọ. Ọnwụ. Oke agbọ na-anaghị atọpụ atọpụ. Ọdọwa osimiri n'anya ụmụ mmadụ. Egwu onye ọchịchị. Nkasi obi onye ụwa ahụhụ maka ịga akwụsị ahụhụ. O nwee ihe ubi mgbe ọ masịrị ya. O nwee ebe o si chọọ. Ọ bụ na ntakịrị, ọ bụ na nnukwu. Ọ napụrụ ụmụaka ndị mụrụ ha n'ike. Ọ napụrụ nwaanyị isi mkpe otu mkpụrụ anya ya. O gbuo onye agha. Ọ kwapụrụ osisi ji ụlọ. Ọ kwapụrụ aja ụlọ. Onye arụmala. Egwu onye ọbụla. Akpọrọ nga asị. Ị chere na ị na-emegbu ụmụ mmadụ. Ị maghị na ị na-eduga ha ebe na-enweghị ọnwụ dị ya. Ebe bụ naanị ezumike. Ọnwụ. Ịbụ ejula nke chere na ya na-asụnye ọkụ. Sogbuo onwe ya. Agadi nwaanyị kawa nka. Ọ dịka eji ego lọọ ya. Aṅụgbuo ngwọ akpọ ya okpokoro. Ụkwụ ji agụ mgbada bịa ya ụgwọ. Agụ emebiela ọchị. N'agbọghọ ọ na-eto dịka ọkọrọ. Na-egbu amụma dịka akpụkpọ igwe. Dị nwụrị dịka unu na-echere acha. Nka bịa ya emebie mma. Nwaanyị na-ahụ ugbu a, ọ dịka ọnwụ na-egbu mmadụ. Chịpụta mkpịsị akụkụ dịka nkarịnka nkata. Tụkpu anya ka onye ọnwụ chụrụ ọsọ nwere oge o mere ka ọ na-ahapụ ịgọ ụmụ okorobịa n'anya. Nna agadi nwaanyị, ụmụ mere gị otu a. atụwa ilu akpụkpọ ọ dịka na atụrụ ya agadi. Nwere ya nne nwanyị, izuru ezu na nwanyị, jisi ike na nka gị. Nwere ya nne mmụime obodo, ebe na enwe onye na ahụ mmadụ gị n'ihu. Ana m ahụ mmadụ gị n'ihu n'ụbọchị taa. Nna, ka ị chọrọ ka m dị? Anaghị m esegbu onwe m, adịghị m ike ma ị dị ike. Gịnị ka m ga-eme karịa ịdị ka ị siri chọọ? Ụwa nke a kpọrọ m asị, ọlụ m lụrụ ụgwọ ya ka ndị ọzọ riri. Ụwa dupụtara m n'ụzọ sọnye ọkụ, ndị mbụ ụzọ gbawa ọsọ na-asị m bịa siwe ike. Abụ m onye echiche ya na abalị bụ nwanne, ụsụ anwụ ka m bụ ugbu a. Ma agaghị m egbu onwe m maka ụwa ọjọọ m, n'ihi ọ bụ ka ị siri chọọ. Nna, ndị ụwa ọma, keleenụ Chineke unu. N'ime ụwa ọjọọ m, m ga-ekelekwa ya. Ndị chi ha tiere akị ahapụkwala ikele chi ha. Gịnị ka a na-akwara akwa? Nwanne m, ihe ukwu mara ụbọchị ahịa ukwu. Chi ewerela ehihie jie. Anya m ahụ na ntị m, oke ọkpa eyiela akwa. Nwoke adịla ime, ahụla m ewu ehi. Mmiri eru eru ezuola. Ọkụkọ onye ụwa anaghị alọta. Osisi ukwu daru ala, nwaanyị etee ya elu. Ihe ju akpa amachie ya ọnụ. Ọ bụ onye nwụrụ? Ịmaghị dike ome nke ukwu, egwu atụ. Dike na anaghị amụ mma n'iru. Ahụ dị mkpa, ahụ ogologo ime ya. Enyi ọha dum, dike na anaghị ekwu ibe ya n'azụ. Ome mgbe ihe siri ike, ihe tagburu nkịta siri ike. Osisi ji ụlọ adaala. Onye ma echi nna m dị nwaole bara nwaole. Tụfịa akwa, ihe ọma anaghị ekwe jide ya n'aka. Ọ bụkwa eburu ozu onye ọzọ, ọ dịka ebu osisi kpọrọ nkụ. Gịnị ka nwoke na-emerụ nna anyị ha nọ n'ebe ala mmụọ na-eme? Ha ji kwe ka ọnwụ were gị na nwata. Ọ bụ n'ọrụ ka ha dị ka ha na-achọ oke ebe ụlọ ha na-ere ọkụ? Nna m dị, chi gị ma ihe mere gị. Anya mmiri ejula ndị enyi gị anya. Onye ma echi, jee jụọ chi gị ajụjụ. Ọ bụrụ na ebe ahụ ka mma, meziere anyị ụzọ, anyị na-abịa. Ọ bụrụ na ọ dịghị mma, gwa nna anyị ha na ihere ha na-eme anyị. N'isi ha bụ ihe a ga-egwupụta kpụ ọkụ maka agwa na ya tụ nwata n'iru nne. Onye ube ruru, ya racha. Ndị ọ dị ka ọ dị m, ndị anwụ ụtụtụ ha jụrụ ịwa. Nweenụ ndidi, na-ele anya n'elu. N'oge na-adịghị anya, Chineke ụmụ ogbenye ga-ehicha ụnụ anya mmiri. Mgbe m ga-abịa ọzọ n'ụwa a, m ga-abụ udele. Mmadụ m bụ na-ewe m iwe. Mgbe m ga-abịa ọzọ, agaghị m abụ ọkụkọ, ọmụ nwa eri ya akụ nwa. Agaghị m abụ nkịta, ọ bụpụta orikwa ọzọ. Agaghị m abụ anụ ụlọ nke onye nwe ya hụrụ n'anya. Ụbọchị oriri daa, o bufuo ya rie. Ịhụnanya nke ụwa enweghị isi. Mgbe m ga-abịa ọzọ, m ga-abụ udele, onye nwe ahịa. M ga-enwere onwe m karịa mmadụ. M ga-ebere n'elu ụlọ onye ukwu na onye nta. Nri na anụ ụlọ ka m ga-eburu na-atụghị egwu. M ga-eje ebe niile dịka eze, ma onwe onye ga-egbu m. Mgbe m ga-abịa ọzọ, m ga-abụ udele. M gaghị enwe enyi, m gaghị enwe onye iro. Nne nwaanyị, mmụọ obodo, ọ gbala n'onwe ya. Ugo mma, ọ bụ gịnị? Lee ka iru siri zaa gị. Lee ka osimiri na-agbapụta gị n'anya. Lee ka isi taa arọ ka eriri ọkazị. Ebee ka mma gị jere? O nwere onye kọrọ gị ọnụ na ịnweghị nwa? Ọ bụ ya ka ị na-akpọ nkụ otu a? Ana m ahụ oge ị na-eku ụmụaka ndị ọzọ, na-azụtara ha ihe ahịa, na-emere ha karịa nne mụrụ ha, na-eche na o nwere ụbọchị ị ga-enye nwa ara, ma ụgbọ ọbara na emere nwa ori akwụkwọ. Mesi iru, nne nwaanyị, ọ bụghị gị mere onwe gị. Chi na-enye nwa. O nweghị agụ na-eri nwa dị gị n'afọ. O nweghị nke ị mụtara tagbuo. Hichi iru, ọla mma. Lewe Chineke anya n'iru. Elizabeth mechara mụta John. Echegbula onwe gị maka onye na-amụghị nwa na eli ozu nwa. Hapụwa, kwụsị akwa. Ọnụ akụrụ onye ọwa, ọ bụ chi ya ka akụrụ ya. Onye eze ya pụtara ihe abụrụla onye chikarịrị ibe ya. Hapụwa nne. N'ikpeazụ, Chukwu ga-ekpe asị ndị mmadụ na-atụgide gị.
Ajụla m ụbọchị ọmụmụ m. Ahụhụ dịrịla ụbọchị a mụrụ.
ajukwala mbọchị ọmụmụ m maka ọmụmụ amụrụ mejuwi m afọ ị na-ajụ m ụbọchị ọmụmụ m ọ bụ ọchị ka ị na-achị m ị na-ajụ m ụbọchị ọmụmụ m ka m bewe akwa ka ọ bụ ka m chịwa ọchị unu ga-ahụkwa iru nwaanyị mụrụ nwa tupu isi ya kwupụta ihe ọmụrụ hapụwa anaghị m ata gị ụta ebe ị bụ onye amụrụ kwụwa ngaji ọcha n'ọnụ ihe mma bụ na amụrụ m n'udu mmiri oge nri na-adịghị oge a kọwa ọma mbido ajụkwala m ụbọchị ọmụmụ m ọzọ maka onwe onye ọchịchị m bụ ma ọfọ nke a na-asị na nna m bụ onye eze hapụ m aka ụbọchị m nwere ego ụbọchị m bụrụla onye ọchịchị m ga-echeta ụbọchị ọmụmụ ugbu a m dị na mbara agha ama ihe chere m n'iru ọ bụ ọnwụ m akpọghị ndị m na-alụsị agha asị omume ha ka m kpọrọ asị ndị m na-alụrụ agha ahụghị m n'anya ọnwụ m agaghị ewute ha ma ọ gaghị ebutere ha aṅụrị o nweghị iwu ji m ịlụ agha a o nweghị onye dunyere m lụwa ya karịa ịhụnanya m nwere ebe ndị nke m nọ ndị enyi m chọrọ ka m pụta na mbara agha ka m hapụ ịnwụ n'agha ma ha chefuru na agwa anaghị atụ nwata n'iru nne ya ọ bụ eziokwu na nne m ụmụnne m ndị enyi m nwa agbọghọ bụ sọ mma nchere ịlụ na-echegbu onwe ha banyere m ma agaghị m ahapụ mbara agha ka ndị iro kpọrọ ha n'iru m ahapụla m ụlọ biri n'ọhịa dinta m bụ ugbu a bụ ịgbagbu mmadụ ibe m abụrụla m n'ọhịa iji wetara ndị nke m udo agha ka m dị n'etiti ya ugbu a gee ntị ihe na-ada n'ọhịa m dị n'ime ya kwapụ kwapụ bụ ekele ụtụtụ m anyị ma ọnụ dum egwu nke egbe ọ dakata nchefue ndụ na-akpọ egbe m ka ọ bụ akwara ịgba egbe kwụsị m weli isi chi ọchị ntụgharịa ndị soro m rie nri ụtụtụ abụrụla ozu nwụrụ anwụ ama m na otu ụbọchị ga-abụ nke m ahụla m ọnwụ m otu ụbọchị ka m ga-atọgbụrụ dịka ndị enyi m nọ n'ebe a ebe a kwudele akịka dị iche iche ga-enwe nzukọ n'elu m ọkpụkpụ m ga-achịsara n'ọhịa onye ọrụ ubi sụwa ọhịa ọ sụpụta okpokirisi m na ọkpụkpụ m o suwe ọkụ o suo m ọkụ ihe ubi towe o too n'elu ọkpụkpụ m o nweghịkwa nwa ada ga-esusu m ọnụ maka na ya esusu ala ọnụ otu a ka ndụ m ga-esi agwụ anya ga-atọ ndị nwe m n'ama ma anya ikpeazụ m na ha hụrụ bụ nke ha hụrụ m tupu njewe agha anya ọzọ anyị ga-ahụ bụ n'ala ezumike
right now I feel it is important to draw the attention of all Biafrans and in fact the international community as well to what the Biafrans are fighting for, that is the restoration of the Republic of Biafra. The series of injustice perpetrated against the people of Biafra was initiated by a mercenary soldier working on behalf of the British government. His name was Frederick Lugard. In the year 1914, Lugard, as colonial administrator and friend of the House of Fulani, using his connections with the British Colonial Office, committed the most outrageous fraud in human history by unilaterally declaring the amalgamation of northern and southern protectorates in our part of Africa and naming these territories Nigeria. This British mercenary did not consult the people before forcing them into an unholy union of his dreams. The name Nigeria was really a coinage from two words, Niger, that is the river Niger, and area, meaning the area of land around the river Niger. It does not require a rocket scientist or a wordsmith to forge this name. I understand that the name was in fact suggested by Lugard's wife. For Lugard to choose the name Nigeria for his contraption is clear evidence he was only interested in the land and its resources, not in the well-being of people of diverse cultures inhabiting the land. So, ab initio, the name Nigeria was only a geographical description without any cultural or historical content, and has remained so up to today. For even Lugard himself described the North and the South as oil and water that can never mix. About 30 years into Lugard's experiment, in 1945 to be exact, the first catastrophe struck. Biafrans were slaughtered in northern Nigeria by the Hausa Fulani as a clear expression of their resentment of the amalgamation. In 1953, the Northerners struck again. Once more, Biafrans were the victims. The Nigerian census of 1956 was rigged in favor of the Northerners by their British friends, who inflated the population figures for the North to the detriment of the South. The pre-independence federal elections were similarly rigged by the departing British colonial administrators to benefit the North against the South. It was not therefore surprising that a few years after independence, Nigeria descended into anarchy and chaos. This time again, Biafrans were the target, chased away from all over Nigeria as hundreds of thousands of them were murdered in northern Nigeria. In May, July, August, September, and October 1966, Biafrans were hounded and massacred all over northern Nigeria by the Hausa Fulani shouting Araba, Araba, meaning secession. The bruised and battered Biafrans returned to the safety of their homeland to nurse their wounds, abandoned by the federal government of the country to which they were supposed to belong. A national conference was held in Aburi, Ghana, under the chairmanship of General Ankara, the Ghanaian head of state. Far-reaching agreements aimed at keeping Nigeria together were concluded between General Yakubu Gowon, representing Nigeria, and General Chukwu Emeka Odumegwu, representing the people of Biafra. But in a most arrogant display of power, Nigeria unilaterally annulled those agreements. The Biafrans had no other choice but to declare their independence on May 30, 1967. Instead of allowing Biafrans to nurse their wounds in the peace of their homeland, Nigeria, propelled by sheer hatred and arrogance of power, declared a war of aggression against the beleaguered Biafrans. Nigeria wanted the land of Biafra without the people of Biafra, and conducted a three-year genocidal war to achieve that purpose. At the end of it all, about 3.5 million Biafran men, women, and children were killed in their homeland. I have never read anywhere that people of different cultures and religions had been forced to unite by sheer military means. The American Civil War was a unique case. Prior to that war, all the states had voluntarily consented to join the Union after a gruesome war of independence against the British. But when the southern states refused to give up slavery and decided instead to secede from the Union, the northern states, led by Abraham Lincoln, took up arms against the South as a matter of principle. The North believed that since all men were created equal, it was unjust for people to own slaves as private property. The American Civil War was not in reality to unite the country. but a war in defense of human rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. In each genocidal enterprise, Nigeria obtained the ready military and diplomatic assistance of Britain, the former Soviet Union, Spain, the then Organization of African Unity led by the former Ethiopian head of state, Emperor Haile Selassie, the non-aligned nations led by President Tito of former Yugoslavia, and the United Nations Organization led by U Thant. The lie being bandied about by Britain and Nigeria was that if Biafra was allowed to secede from Nigeria, the whole of Africa would be afflicted by the disease of secession. Shamelessly, the so-called civilized world colluded with Nigeria in the massacre of millions of Biafran men, women, and children. The principle of human rights was thrown to the winds. Biafra was strangled by overwhelming military force, diplomatic fraud, and starvation. Even Christian charity organizations and the International Red Cross were dissuaded and frustrated by Britain and Nigeria from delivering urgently needed food materials and medicine, which would have saved lives. Whether we believe it or not, there is a great being who is in control of events on earth. Some refer to him as Karma. We call him God. Nigeria thought that once Biafra was defeated in battle, everything would be all right, and she would live happily ever after. There is no way you can spill the blood of 3.5 million people and expect that there would not be some retribution. We all know what is happening to Nigeria today. What of the greatest ally of Nigeria? War against Biafrans, Britain. One quiet afternoon early this year, two machete-wielding Nigerian extremists attacked a British soldier and killed him in broad daylight and bragged about it. That event was one of the greatest insults inflicted on a world power such as Britain. Right now, Scotland is in the process of seceding from Britain after about 400 years of marriage voluntarily entered into by England and Scotland. Yet, it was the same Britain that scared the world stiff about the impending balkanization of Africa should Biafra go its way, and led the chorus of the sanctity of the territorial integrity of Nigeria as the Biafran War of Independence raged on. I do not know what will happen to the territorial integrity of Britain when Scotland eventually secedes. The truth is that a territory can never be more important than the people who live in it. That is a basic principle of human rights. But the British government, under the leadership of Harold Wilson, did not believe that the Biafran people were entitled to the same human rights which British people enjoyed. That is why Harold Wilson is one of the least respected world leaders today. As leader of the Organization for African Unity, Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia campaigned against the existence of Biafra because he believed that it was allowed to exist, the province of Eritrea, which was then part of Ethiopia, would secede. But in spite of Haile Selassie, Eritrea is now an independent nation. What about President Tito of Yugoslavia? As leader of the non-aligned nations, President Tito campaigned against Biafra because he feared that his country would break if Biafra were allowed to exist. Where is Yugoslavia today? In the dustbin of history. out of the ashes of Yugoslavia emerged four or five countries, in spite of President Tito. Now, the former Soviet Union supplied Nigeria with all the MiG fighter planes with which it terrorized, killed, and maimed Biafran men, women, and children in their homes, in marketplaces, in schools, in churches, in hospitals, and in refugee camps. Where is the great Soviet Union today? In the dustbin of history. From the ashes of the former Soviet Union emerged 15 independent countries, including Russia. What of Egypt? While it was not clear whether the Egyptian government cooperated with Nigeria during its war against Biafra, it was common knowledge that Egyptian pilots were responsible for the indiscriminate bombing and strafing of civilian targets that accounted for the loss of thousands of lives. They were probably mercenaries who did not want to risk their lives and therefore avoided raiding the war fronts, since they must discharge their bombs and kill some people. They frequently went for soft targets, such as markets, schools, and hospitals. After all, they knew they were engaged in a war of extermination anywhere, and the civilized world was behind. See what is happening in Egypt today. Not so good. By contrast, the five countries that recognized Biafra, namely Tanzania, Zambia, Gabon, Ivory Coast, and Haiti, have enjoyed peace and stability till today. Their heads of state at the time of the Biafran saga, namely Dr. Mwalimu Julius Nyerere, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda, Mr. Omar Bongo, Mr. Ufe Boigny, and Papa Doc, François Duvalier, were some of the most respected statesmen in the world. Tanzania has not disintegrated, even though it is a union between mainland Tanganyika and the island of Zanzibar off the coast of East Africa, a union voluntarily agreed by the two entities without a land border, but with strong cultural and historical ties. Where was the United Nations organization on the blight that was Biafra? Missing in action. The world body never for once had testimony from the Biafran people. It listened only to Nigeria because Britain, as a permanent member of the Security Council, thwarted all effort by Biafra to present her case to the world, and by implication deceived the United States on the issue of Biafra. It is now time for Nigeria to pay its debt to history. It is the wish of everybody concerned that Nigeria should disappear peacefully, letting the component parts go their way after 100 years of an unholy marriage that has refused to work. Or Nigeria may choose to die a violent death. This would make no sense, since too many lives have already been lost, and the land is soaked in blood. Since all things made by mortal man must perish, so shall Nigeria, made by Frederick Lugard and his wife, cease to exist. And from its ashes, the Republic rebels. The case of India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh is one worthy of emulation. So also are the cases of former Czechoslovakia, former Yugoslavia, Ethiopia and Eritrea, as well as Sudan and Southern Sudan. Thomas Jefferson, writing the American Declaration of Independence, said, and I quote, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God, entitled them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to their separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This idea goes back to Athens of the 5th century BC, when Socrates spoke of a law of God respected by all, barbarian and Greek alike, or in the Antigone of Sophocles from the 5th century BC, when Antigone appealed to the law of God that is the same for all over the world, and justifies any action that might break the laws of men. Cicero defined natural law in his works on moral values as the law of God revealed in the reason of his universe. It is one law, valid in all places and in all times. It will be the same in Athens and in Rome and in every future nation to come, for that law rests with God, and there are consequences for breaking the law of God. I hope the United Nations will be alive to its responsibility this time around, and that the international community will stop playing games with African lives. The loss of 3.5 million Biafran lives can never be in vain. That would run counter to the principles of natural justice, laws of nature and of nature's God. The people of Biafra have waited all these years for reason and common sense to prevail, for justice to be done, so that old and current wounds can start to heal, and the spirits of 3.5 million Biafra men, women, and children can start to rest in peace. It is time for the restoration of the Republic of Biafra. God bless people of goodwill around the world, and God bless Biafra. Thank you.
And that was a compelling scintillating delivery by Professor Innocent Odenigbo there, a compelling case for Biafra restoration, which the world is running away from. There is nobody on this planet Earth that can dispute the argument put together there by Professor Innocent Odenigbo, and it has remained and will continue to be the template upon which we will be acting until Biafra is restored. Professor Innocent Odenigbo will be immortalized, and the details will be announced by the director of Radio Biafra and the leader of Indigenous People of Biafra and commander of all the Biafran forces, Nnamdi Kanu, and that will be after consultation with the Directorate of State. Professor Innocent Odenigbo is one of us, and today marks a turning point because he will be committed to the Mother Earth later today. This is Radio Biafra AM edition, and we are reaching you from London. And my name is Uchemef Ford. This is a live broadcast, and we are welcoming you from wherever you are.
Gini ki genye,
no genye,
o ọtụtụ nke Chukwu na ọchịchị agha ya na ezi ekele gejire n'obi. Ubi na-enye nri, ihe na-enye mmiri, ụlọ na-enye izu ike, gịnị ka ị ga-akwụ
n'oge niile?
Ọtụtụ nke Chukwu na ọchịchị agha ya na ezi ekele gejire n'obi. Ụtọ kene na nna ya na-akụ ụmụnne, kene nye gị ọnụ, gịnị ka ị ga-enye
n'oge niile?
Ọtụtụ nke Chukwu na ọchịchị agha ya na ezi ekele gejire n'obi. Chukwu onwe ya nyekwara gị ndụ ya n'ugwu Kalvarị, gịnị ka ị ga-enye
n'oge niile?
Ọtụtụ nke Chukwu na ọchịchị agha ya na ezi ekele gejire n'obi.
To join the interactive session on this program, please call +447 448 10941 +447 448 10941. On the alternative, we also have +447 405 964146 +447 405 964146. We also have a Skype line and the ID is Radio Biafra. I'm without wasting much time, I am joined from Lagos, the heart of darkness of the Zuko, Nigeria, by Imam Adabuchi. And we're going to him right now to say hello to you. And after that, we will proceed to reading the news headlines and, of course, doing the other things that we have as business this morning on this program. Emma, are you hearing me? Imam Adabuchi, are you hearing me?
Yes, Uche, I'm hearing you.
Yes, please go ahead and say hello to Bia fans. And indeed, of course, this is a special broadcast to the memory of Professor Innocent Odenigbo, who has departed this world, but we can never forget, for he remains part and parcel of this wider indigenous people of Biafra family and central to what we are doing.
Yeah, hello fellow Biafrans, friends of Biafra and enemies of Biafra. We welcome you once again to our meeting today. I am Imam Adabuchi. I hail from Ovim in the Sokoto local government area of what is known as Abia State today. And, well, it is with, a saddened heart that today our father, our friend, our counselor, our hero is going to be buried today. The voice of wisdom and truth, the man who gingered many people, whose fire of Biafra had been dying in them, and he gingered us, all of us came alive in the business again. We thank God for his life, and we know that the Lord will bless him and bless his soul. I thank you very much for joining us today as we do the business that God has committed into our hands to do, which is to bring about the restoration of the sovereign state of Biafra. Thank you very much and stay with us.
Thank you very much, Ima, for that. And we will proceed shortly to reading the news headlines, and after that we go into analysis and, of course, discuss issues affecting the lives of ordinary citizens of Biafra in Biafra land, elsewhere in different parts of the Zuko, Nigeria, and around the world.
Ụtọ kene na nna ya na-akụ ụmụnne, kene nye gị ọnụ, gịnị ka ị ga-enye
n'oge niile?
Ọtụtụ nke Chukwu na ọ
And of course, we will proceed to reading the news headlines. And in the news, we have it that Ohanaezenbo threatens violence over election crisis. Ohanaezenbo threatens violence over election crisis. We will be looking into this in details. We are also reporting on Nigerian Army whistleblower who, of course, leaked the Ekiti election rigging tape. Why I leaked Ekiti election rigging tape? Nigerian Army officer who, of course, turned a whistleblower. That is to tell you about the extent the Nigerians have gone. Everything in Nigeria is fraudulent. And anything that comes in contact with Nigeria is corrupted.
Oh gosh, we cannot mind ourselves as a free mankind. Tell me why. Tell me. Freedom, freedom is what we want.
And the Independent Electoral Commission of the zoo called Nigeria, called INEC, is to decide on election dates today, Saturday. Independent Electoral Commission, INEC, to decide on election dates on Saturday, which is today.
Much atrocity and committed against my people.
And according to what the governor of Governor Chibuike Amaechi says, we will take to the streets if INEC shifts election, says Amaechi. We will take to the streets if INEC shifts election.
They have their freedom. All nations in the world, they have gained their freedom. Why can't we afraid?
And the president of France, Hollande, says France is committed to battle against Boko Haram. France is committed to battle against Boko Haram, the France's president says.
To set my people free, calling the leader of a nation to save your free, calling Africa Union.
And also, with reference to the fraudulent election being conducted in Zuko, Nigeria, we continue to remind our people that there is great uncertainty in the Zuko, Nigeria, and they must think about their safety. Reference to that, we are saying here that there is uncertainty over election date, and the zoo's presidency has confirmed that uncertainty is over election date, and we will be looking at that from a different perspective very shortly.
Freedom is what we need now.
and panic. Relocation hits campuses. Students live in droves. That is the concern of Malan Ibrahim Sharako. Panic. Relocation hits campuses. Students live in droves in the zoo called Nigeria. And we are telling our people to move now when they are alive rather than being moved when they are dead.
Because justice has been aborted and miscarried. People are afraid of speaking the truth. I see the teachers in the school.
We are also reporting that fight against Boko Haram has turned children into soldiers and spies. Fight against Boko Haram turns children into soldiers and spies.
The truth about their freedom. Why can't you tell us the truth about their freedom? We wanna live in peace.
We shall march force with forces, Ohanaeze Ndigbo, if there is post-election violence. We shall march force with forces, Ohanaeze Ndigbo, with reference to post-election violence.
So we sing, "Down from freedom, freedom is what we need now. Freedom, freedom is what we need."
Holding the elections as scheduled can throw Nigeria into turmoil and confusion, says the Zeus presidency. Holding the elections as scheduled can throw Nigeria into turmoil and confusion, says the presidency of the zoo called Nigeria. And now the news in details. The Apex Sociocultural Group, Ohanaeze Ndigbo, has declared that Igbo will resist any attempt to annihilate the people should the forthcoming election turn bloody. This declaration followed the accusation by the group against the governor of Imo State, Chief Richard Okorocha, of sponsoring a faction of Ohanaeze bent on destabilizing the body. We told you about Richard Okorocha. We warned everybody about Richard Okorocha, and now those who claim not to be hearing, who claim not to know, are now taking cue. They are now reacting because the devil has come into their midst, and they have used all sorts of enticement to blow their membership apart. Money is talking. And whenever money is talking, there will be disagreement among Ohanaeze Ndigbo, those who have committed themselves to selling the collective interests of our people to the highest bidder. And we are yet to see. This is the beginning. The President General of Ohanaeze Ndigbo, Chief Ewe Gariwe, who made this disclosure yesterday while addressing newsmen at Secretariat, said the allegation that we took bribe from the presidency was baseless, as the adoption of the incumbent president was born out of wide consultations with various interest groups in Igbo land. The interests of Ndigbo would be more protected if President Goodluck Jonathan is re-elected. It is only Jonathan that would implement the report of the National Constitutional Conference, declaration of 9 states in each of the 6 geopolitical zones in the country is contained in the CONFAR report. This is the faction of Ohanaeze Ndigbo, who has obviously been giving money, and they are speaking as always with both sides of their mouth. The other camps may have not received any money from any political organization, and now they are singing a different tune. And this can only happen in Igbo land. This can only happen where our people are. And we enjoin all dedicated, all genuine Biafrans who have not given in to spirit of the devil, the spirit of backbiting, the spirit of destabilization, to remain resolute and remain focused, for the journey has just begun.
Calling the United Nations.
mission to set my people free. Only the leader of a nation to save Biafra free. Calling Africa Union to talk about my freedom. Calling Africa Nassau District to set my people free.
Captain Segui Coley, who leaked the Ekiti Gate audio and documentary, which had Governor Ayo Fashoye, Senator Musili Obanikolo, Yola Omishere, Brigadier General Momo, and others planning how they would stifle and trample the opposition using the military and other security agencies, said he did it for the unity of Bizuko, Nigeria, and the military, in order to strengthen the unity and continue existence of Bizuko, Nigeria. I call on the federal government to desist from using military for partisan politics. This is to avoid the military from being divided along ethnic and regional lines, which is dangerous to the defense of the Zuko Nigeria, Coley said. Of course, as always, and right from the outset, Nigerian military is divided along ethnic lines, and what is happening in the Mohammedan Emirate of the North is just the beginning. Those who are supposed to be fighting an organized terror group are in the process giving information to the same terror group and claiming that they do not have weapon. And you can see that the problem with the Zuko Nigeria has no beginning and has no end. And that is how it shall be until Nigeria collapses and dismembers. And from its ashes, the owners of the land will naturally emerge and take over what belongs to them, among whom are Biafrans.
Telling the truth about Biafran freedom. Why can't you tell us the truth about Biafran freedom? We want to live in peace and live in freedom.
Continuing how the Nigerian Army personnel were used to rig Ekiti election and Osun State gubernatorial election in 2014. I was officially deployed as the 32 Artillery Brigade intelligence officer to provide credible intelligence to the success of Ekiti State governorship election at about 20:30 hours on June 2014, a date of the election proper. The commander, Brigadier General A.A. Momo, told me to escort him to a place where the state minister for defense wanted to see him. Reaching the place, Portless Hotel in Edo Ekiti, which serves as a coordinating campaign office for the PDP candidate Mr. Ayodele Fayose, we met the minister himself, Mr. of Police Affairs, Mr. Fayose, Mr. Iola Omishere, one Honorable Abdul Karim, and host of other top PDP chieftains. The outcome of what was discussed that gave the party victory during the election are as follows. A. They told Brigade Commander that they are on presidential assignment and they cannot afford to fail. Also, they told him that they were there to remove any obstacles that would block their victory, and the commander is the key, therefore he has no option but to collaborate with them. They said if the commander played with them, his promotion is in their hands, and the president and the chief of army staff would be very angry with him, and he knows that what is awaiting for him will be calamitous. He knows what that means. B. They directed that soldiers on election duty must work hand in hand with the PDP agents and give them all the necessary support they needed without limitation. C. They ordered the arrest of selected APC stalwarts that could greatly assist the party during the election, including the DG campaign organization for Dr. Fayemi, Mr. Bimbo Daramola. APC members in Ekiti State should be interviewed of what they went through. We were forced to do a dirty job for them with a threat of court martial. D. They directed that soldiers must block APC members' access to the electorates, but all PDP supporters movement anywhere using a designated sticker with inscription National Security Task. It should be noted that some of these PDP agents were given NYSC uniforms because we were well briefed by the commander. E. Chief Chris Oba, who also said he was from the presidency, entered Edo Ekiti a day to the election, accompanied by 16 commissioned army officers, major and below, led by Major Ujung of 82 Base Ammunition Depot from Nigeria Army 82 Division Enugu. Their major task was to effect arrest and move secret materials and money. This money was brought from CBN Omaha. Well, I cannot continue reading this, but it's a long one. But the most important thing here is that the zoo called Nigeria is the citadel of corruption and all sorts of abominable acts. And Nigeria corrupts everything that it comes in contact with. And we are also telling you that all is not well. And now is the time for us to do something as credible human beings, as right-thinking human beings, as a group of people who recognize that we are on the verge, and that nobody will save us unless we come together and resort to self-help to help ourselves, to defend our land, and to leave something credible for posterity. There's no other time than now. Rally round the Biafra Restoration Project, that we may move forward and do one thing: restoration of Biafra. The Director General of Buhari Campaign Organization and Governor of Rivers State, Chibuike Amaechi, has threatened mass action if the Independent National Electoral Commission decides today to shift this month's election. Amaechi, who said monumental change is about to happen in Nigeria because the vast majority of Nigerians yearn for it, insisted that the presidential election must hold on February the 14th because Nigerians are charged and poised to vote on that day for an inevitable change. He said that this during the All Progressives Congress governorship campaign rally in Isiobo, the headquarters of his Ikwerre local government area of River State, addressing thousands of APC supporters who had convened for the rally. The governor charged his kinsmen and the people of the state to vote against the president and the People's Democratic Party because they are adverse to the rule of law and good governance. If PDP says they are strong, we are ready for election, let them come out. APC has said to PDP, let us wrestle. They are running away. If they try the postponement, we Nigerians will march out on the streets. Nigerians are charged and poised to vote on February the 14th, he said. Amaechi, who observed the INEC would be meeting today with critical stakeholders to deliberate on the forthcoming elections, insisted that whether the federal government likes it or not, the presidential election must hold on Saturday. According to him, Nigerians are yearning for freedom from the yoke inflicted on them by the PDP administration, which is endemically corrupt. He told the teeming audience that the APC presidential candidate remains gravely concerned about the incessant attacks on the party's faithful in the state and has assured them that he would ensure the protection of life and property if he wins the February 14th presidential election. Of course, it is very ironical that all these men who are in APC, majority of them We are PDP members, including Amaechi himself. And so, it is a case of dog eat dog. And now, what we are saying is that the ordinary people on the streets, the Biafran people, the hapless civilian population are the people who are going to be victims of all this. And so, our interest remains that the Biafran people should head eastwards, they should head towards Biafran land and its environs. If you are living in northern part of Bizuko, Nigeria, you must relocate right now. You must choose between your life, between your safety and your economic interest. You must be alive before you begin to think tomorrow. A lot of people are living, some people are stay adamant, and we are telling you that if you do not move now when you are alive, you will be inevitably be moved either into a mass grave or to your fatherland, and that will be too late. This is Radio Biafran. This is the AM edition on this day, the 7th of February 2015.
Atrocity and committed against my people, and still we are struggling.
The Independent National Electoral Commissioner, INEC, will today meet with the 36 resident electoral commissioners, RECs, and the political parties as part of consultations to enable the commission to take a decision on whether to retain the dates for the general election or pick new dates. Also, Senior Special Assistant to the President on Public Affairs, Dr. Doyin Okupe, Friday in Abuja, absolved President Goodluck Jonathan of allegations of pressuring the INEC Chairman, Professor Tahiru Jega, to shift the date of the general election. Jega had, as part of the consultation directed by the National Council of State, met with all national commissioners Thursday night and Friday morning. A statement by Kayode Idowu, the Chief Press Secretary to the INEC Chairman, said Jega was invited to the NCS meeting where he made presentations to the preparations on the preparations for the 2015 general election progress report, and that the National Security Advisor, NSA, and Armed Services Chiefs also briefed the Council on the current security situation. Idowu said, as a follow-up to that meeting, the Commission has scheduled a consultative meeting with chairmen and secretaries of all registered political parties, as well as a meeting with the RECs today, February 7, 2015. Thereafter, the Commission will address a press conference to brief the nation on its decision with regard to whether or not the general elections we hold as currently scheduled. Of course, whether they hold election or not, the election is immaterial. What we are interested in is the safety of the Biafran people, and we are calling on you, wherever you are. If you have relatives in northern part of the Zuka, Nigeria, you better call them to begin now to head eastwards, because what is going to happen will be very calamitous, and nobody can determine the extent. There is no other time than now to relocate, albeit temporarily.
Without regard to the race and the color, that will be world everywhere. Until the rights of the poor have been respected.
The French President Francois Hollande on Friday declared that the battle to root Boko Haram must be total and collective, adding that his country's effort to checkmate the sect in Nigeria was to stop their activities from engulfing the West Africa sub-region and beyond. The French leader, who spoke while hosting a well-attended Africa-France Economic Forum for a Shared Growth in Paris Friday, said France was not only concerned about preserving the world but committed to efforts to tackle insurgency in the world. His declaration came just as President Goodluck Jonathan insisted that his administration would have no respite until insurgency is defeated, assuring that the government had not given up on its commitment to rescue the abducted school Chibok girls. On a number of occasions, France had led initiatives and hosted meetings of countries within the Lake Chad Basin, including Chad, Nigeria, Cameroon, and Niger Republic, in an effort to adopt an integrated approach in stopping the activities of Boko Haram. The French leader noted that achieving growth and development was a mirage in an atmosphere of insecurity. He said France's recent intervention in Mali to combat terrorists was not only born out of the need to preserve the sovereignty of that country, but the realization of the potential of terrorism spreading to other African countries and threatening their sovereignty. Hollande said he was aware of the current offensive by Boko Haram in Nigeria and Cameroon, declaring, "We must face it." Of course, if the Nigerian government has the will, the political way to fight Boko Haram, they would have confronted them head on, rather than, of course, giving excuses. Of course, we know that Nigerian army is divided along ethnic lines, and a large chunk of the Nigerian army from the northern Hausa Fulani extraction are all members of Boko Haram or are sympathetic to Boko Haram, and we must do something urgently to, of course, make our people understand the enormity of the task ahead and the danger looming in the horizon.
Oh gosh, we cannot find ourselves as a free mankind. Tell me why. Tell me. Freedom, freedom is what we want now.
Barely 24 hours after the Independent National Electoral Commission, INEC, told the nation, the zoo called Nigeria, that it was ready for the February 14, 2015 presidential election. The commission has again said it would brief the nation today on whether or not the polls would hold as originally scheduled. For avoidance of doubt, Nigeria is not a nation, because you cannot bring people who do not have any common values, no similar way of life. Their ways of life are asymmetrical to one another, and you call them nation. Nigeria is not a nation. Nigeria is made up of countries forced together to live and fight among themselves. And by implication, this is an experimentation in desperation by the British government and their handlers for purely administrative and economic reasons, and it should be seen as such. And that is why Biafra remains the option. The humanitarian crisis emerging in the zoo called Nigeria from terrorism, we have no end. The Biafra option remains the best option forward. Total disintegration of the zoo called Nigeria. There is no more time for a blurry type of accord or deliberation or conference. It is too late, for so many lives have been lost, and these souls of those who have been mercilessly massacred, especially Biafrans, are crying for vengeance, and it is now time for Nigeria to pay its debt to history. We continue on this news. This was as indications emerged last night that the INEC might have come under immense pressure to postpone the 2015 elections, whose timetable was released to the public over a year ago. The briefing on whether the elections will go on or not as scheduled would hold after a meeting between INEC Chairman Professor Atahiru Jega with resident electoral commissioners reps in the 36 states and the Federal Capital Territory, FCT Abuja. This will be followed by another meeting between INEC and chairmen and secretaries of registered political parties. Thereafter, INEC will unfold their plans to Nigerians. This is what is to come. Of course, uncertainty everywhere, and so the best way to deal with uncertainty is to apply your intuition. Use your head, and as the case remains, Biafrans are always victims of any uncertainty, of any calamity that befalls the zoo called Nigeria. And so this time around, you cannot claim that you are not warned ahead of time.
That was the problem in the world. Because justice has been aborted and miscarried. People are afraid of speaking the truth. I see the teachers in the school. They refuse to teach us the truth.
Despite the decision of the federal government of Izuko, Nigeria, to not to close schools ahead of the elections, investigations show that there is mass movement of students from campuses of tertiary institutions across the country. This is just as many institutions of learning in defiance of the federal government directive have suspended academic activities. A staff of the Kaduna State College of Education, Gideon Wire in Kafanta, who pleaded anonymity, told the Leadership newspaper Weekend that students of the institution had been moving in their numbers and more will move in the weeks of the elections. He said already there is a circular informing students not to travel but to remain on campus. Many of the students have said that circular or no circular, they must travel. Checks by different investigations made revealed that some universities had reorganized their programs and brought examinations forward to enable them finish and go on break before the elections, while others had put academic activities on hold till after elections. A postgraduate student of the Nasarawa State University, Kefi Uloma Martins, said that academic activities at the institution had been put on hold till after the elections. She also confirmed that many students of the institution had relocated to their homes ahead of the election. We have finished lectures and ought to have started exams, but it has been deferred till after the election, she said. A student of the Federal University of Agriculture, Makurdi, Borno State, Thomas Obiam, said exams for undergraduate students of the institution had been scheduled to end on February 12, after which they would proceed on a 2-month break. Meanwhile, mixed reactions from stakeholders in the education sector have continued to thwart the federal government's decision on the closure of schools, while others have accused the federal government of insensitivity to the plight of students and parents and have accused the Minister of Education, Madam Ibrahim Sharaku, of not diligently seeking the opinion of students and parents before embarking on such a decision. Others have said it is the right decision and the right step. This is what is happening in the zoo called Nigeria. Confusion everywhere, and we are still not changing our call for our people to leave the northern part of the zoo called Nigeria and head towards Biafra land. Your life is more important than every other thing.
And still we are struggling, fighting for survival. Oh gosh, can't you hear my cry?
More than 5 years of fighting in northeastern Nigeria has produced a replay of Africa's catastrophic history. Nearly 10,000 have died and over 1 million people have been displaced. Many schools have been closed. Abduction of girls is on the rise. And another ghost of wars past is reappearing. The recruitment of child soldiers kidnapped by Boko Haram fighters or drawn into the now famous self-defense militia, widely dubbed the Civilian Joint Task Force. Children, some as young as 13, are forced to become soldiers, spies, and porters. According to a local report, children now make up about 40% of the insurgents' total force strength, of around 60,000 on the civilian journey task force side. Senior members admit children are nearly a quarter of the more than 10,000 strong self-defense force. The civilian task force, the civilian joint task force, justifies its use of child soldiers as a necessity following increasing attacks by Boko Haram. The insurgents are many in number and we need as many people as we can to fight them, says Buka, a senior member of the self-defense militia. These kids have lots of energy and are very important in this fight for Boko Haram, who kill with impunity. The use of child warriors needs no justification. In a region where the insurgents enjoy a stronghold and kidnapped more than 270 schoolgirls last April, young civilians have been taking protection and justice into their own hands. In June 2013, this content with Nigeria's official joint military task force spawned an official offshoot, the Civilian Joint Task Force, a loosely organized network of vigilantes who have been credited with pushing Boko Haram out of the metropolitan center of Maiduguri in Borno State. A growing concern now is the impact of a five-year-old conflict on children in northeastern Nigeria. Despite strong legislative provisions, including the 2003 Child Rights Act, state-level child protection networks and humanitarian initiatives, post the abductions of the girls in Chibok to assist survivors of violations, several gaps still exist in Nigeria's child protection system. This is, of course, terrible, and I'm not going to continue with this report. The point remains that children are being turned into barbarians in northern part of the Zuko, Nigeria. They are being recruited to do the dirty job. They are being introduced to violence on how to kill a man. And we wonder what that part of the world is turning to. And that is why we cannot live with people who do not have values for human life. There is no way the North and the South can live together under a peaceful arrangement. Of course, the handler and the creator of Nigeria, Lord Lugard, had at the outset said that the North and South are like oil and water that can never mix. Why then forcing this union? It is not possible, and as you can see, so many lives have been lost. For us Biafrans, it is time to go. And it is time for Nigeria to pay a price. That price is total disintegration, that freedom will be given to those who need it. And those who want to remain in the zoo will remain. The presidency has listed some of the reasons it feels that going ahead with the general elections in February as scheduled by the Independent National Electoral Commission can throw the country into turmoil and confusion. It, however, said President Goodluck Jonathan would not engage in any form of subterfuge to pressurize INEC to change the dates of the elections. The senior special assistant to the president on public affairs, Dr. Doyin Okupe, stated this on Friday in Abuja at a press conference called to clarify the outcome of the Council of State meeting held on Thursday. Firstly, President Goodluck Jonathan is not interested, neither is he engaged in any form of subterfuge to pressurize INEC to change the dates of the 2015 elections. The president, like many governors and citizens of Nigeria, is concerned about the state of preparedness of INEC for the 2015 elections, especially as it concerns the guarantee of the rights of every citizen who has fulfilled the conditions for INEC's registration, and many still be disenfranchised from the process of voting at the general election. The security situation and the danger that the current war against insurgency in some parts of the country may impose on the conduct of elections in the affected areas. The impact of the situation above on the overall credibility of the elections. Secondly, I wish to state categorically here that at no time during the entire 7-hour meeting did the INEC chairman, Professor Atahiru Jega, insist that the elections must hold on the 14th of February and 28th of February 2015 as published by some electronic print media. Rather, Professor Jega gave the council a report on the progress so far made by the INEC on its preparedness for the 2015 election. In all its submissions, the only process that was 100% concluded was the preparation and availability of the voters' register. We will not continue on this, but we want to, of course, let you know that this is the situation, that there is serious, danger. There is uncertainty everywhere in the Zuko, Nigeria. The best thing to do is for you to prepare for your safety, because nobody is in position to defend you. And that is why we must continue to disseminate this information, to inform and to educate where necessary. And that is where we bring to an end this morning's news, and we will be going to this analysis. We, of course, are dedicating this program to the memory of Professor Innocent Odenigbo, who will be committed to the Mother Earth this today, later this evening or this afternoon, depending on the time over there in United States of America. And we enjoin everybody to pay their last respect. We are also not forgetting the departed Biafrans who have gone to the world beyond in recent times. May their souls rest in peace. I will now go to the line to bring in Imam Mother Abuchi to give us his views and thoughts on the news. And after that, we will be, of course, entertaining calls where necessary. Otherwise, we proceed to doing the final justice to this program. Ima, are you hearing me?
Yes, Uche, I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Yeah, thank you very much. Go ahead and give us your views and opinions on the issues so far.
Well, I will start from the point of the French president who says they are going to battle Boko Haram to a standstill. They are going to battle them. Well, by all means, let them do that. Let them fight Boko Haram. Let them exterminate Boko Haram. Let them do all they can to make sure that terrorists don't exist anywhere in the world. But one thing they must bear in mind is that the major problem of West Africa, indeed the whole of Africa, is the plunging together of disparate peoples into what they call countries. Because all countries in Africa, especially in West Africa, where you have more nations, is because they force all of us together. It forces people who have no relationship, cultures are different, ways of life are different, languages, everything is different, even the religion is different. They just use rulers and carve people into what I would call a killing field. That is why, while they are battling terrorism anywhere, they must make sure that they begin to dismantle all the countries that they have brought together, all the people that have forced into what they call countries. You come and you force Biafrans into what you call Nigeria. And from that day, they began to kill us everywhere in the streets. We never bargained for it. Even those people who signed the Treaty of Protection didn't sign that they should be killed. Now, who is being protected? We are being murdered every day, even where the British was there. So, the problem of Boko Haram, especially, is the problem of forcing people together in Africa. By the time you give us our Biafra, by the time you give other people who want to stay away, you will see that the problem will begin to fizzle out. I will see how somebody from the north, whatever they want to call that country, will come and kill an Igbo man, kill somebody from Biafra, and nobody will talk about it anywhere in the world. It happened to the Jews, but today you dare not touch a Jew anywhere. Give us our sovereignty. We want to get out of this slave camp they call Nigeria, they call a country. We want to get out of it so that we'll be on our own and
yes.
protect our people.
When you talk about Biafra, somebody will term you a criminal and they will be pursuing you like a bushmeat to kill.
Yes.
And in all other countries of the world, they remember their fallen heroes. Even the so-called Biafrans pay towards the Remembrance Day in Britain here, and indeed in other countries. They do not see it as anything, but when it comes to remembering their own, they will begin to think, to rack sense, how will I put it? Our people need serious reorientation. We need to look into ourselves introspectively and tell ourselves the truth.
Yes. And one of that truth is that you cannot be fearful and you don't want to be killed and you are being killed. It is your right to remember your dead. Everybody does it in the world. Why can't we do it? Yes, they kill us. When you even for you to gather and raise Biafran flag, they will kill you. That's exactly where I'm going. People like the French president, all European leaders, foreign leaders, when they kill us, what do? They pretend they didn't see anything. They pretend they didn't know we are being killed. Boko Haram is making this noise now because some of them are affected. But we have been killed on a daily basis here. And they don't care. They don't know that we are not supposed to belong here. We belong to people who don't like us. We belong with people who hate us. So they kill us at the drop of a hat. So while they are exterminating Boko Haram, while they are fighting Boko Haram, they should make arrangements to make sure that we don't remain in Nigeria beyond 2015. That is what I have to say there. Then the next one is INEC to decide on election date. You know, when Jega came into this business, he was hailed. They said he's... some name called him a man of integrity, like they are calling Buhari today, a man of integrity indeed. They called him a man of integrity. Where is that integrity today? Because all the accusations that are being leveled against him, you know, Jiga is just like a confused man. The case of a confused man trying to play pranks on people. Jiga knew that it is not viable to do elections this coming Saturday, 14th of February. But instead of saying it, he pretended that all was well. He wanted the government to say it so that it would be on the head of Jonathan. Well, Jonathan appears to be wiser than him because himself he refused to commit himself by saying that it is not realizable. It is not safe. So he's going back now to decide on the election date. We wish him well. But we know that going to election without deciding those who will remain in this contraption and those who will not, it is dangerous. We don't want to go to an election with Nigeria. We are non-Nigerians. Since 100 years has passed, we are no longer interested. They should just make arrangements how to let us go. They can go and do the election and do what they want. So shifting election, of course, we are saying all this not because we are interested in Nigerian politics. We are saying all this because for people to get understanding of where we are coming from, where we are going. Let him decide on his election date. That is good for him. But as far as we are concerned, it's of no use. It's immaterial. What we want is Biafra. I don't know. Okay, Amaechi too. You know, the Amaechi said they were going to march if election is not held that day.
Yes. Amaechi, go ahead.
So I wanted to know who is the we that is going to march. He said they are going to march. how Amechi suddenly became a hater of PDP. Amechi was in PDP. For 8 years, he was in PDP. He was Speaker of the River State House of Assembly for 8 years. For 8 years, he was a governor, and he's still a governor. Then, because he wanted to go for the PAHA of becoming the vice president, he knew it wasn't possible in PDP. He jumped to APC. Now, overnight, PDP has become dead, that he could not contend with. He could not stay. But he was part of PDP from the onset. He was a strong man of PDP from the onset. All of a sudden, Amechi wanted to give us the impression that the PDP is evil.
All of them.
Yes, all of them. Atiku was in PDP. Many of them were there. Then all of a sudden, because he felt there's nothing else he could do, nothing that will self-aggrandize him again. The best thing is to go to a place he has hope. Then because of that, he has to demonize PDP. I'm not saying PDP is good. All of them are the same thing. What I'm saying in essence is that all political parties in Nigeria, they are the same thing. It's just a matter of, it's a change of name. Buhari is saying change, change, change. How many times has he changed? He changed from APP to AMPP, from AMPP to National, the other one before he changed, before they came to APC.
And he will change to another one.
He will change to another one if he fails again. Even the APC too, Amechi, the party that the senior brother in APC, which is AD, he went through transformations too before they came to APC. So what is the change about? It is just change your position to be able to gain more political office and more political patronage. That is all. So Amechi is not deceiving anybody. He's deceiving himself. When he says they are going to march, I wonder who is going to march with him. I don't know when he conducted a referendum. He's claiming that Nigerians want to go to polls. I don't know when he conducted that referendum to know what Nigerians wanted.
There are hungry youths, of course. They will distribute money as always. But you know, what we are saying here, of course, as always, is that the impact of all this on our people is what we want to bring to their notice. You know, they can go and kill themselves, but we are more interested in the safety of our people and our right to self-determination. Because these people have come in to destroy the unity that is remaining among the Biafra family.
Yes, people like Amechi. Yes.
And Rochas. And Ngige. I don't know whether Ngige is still there or not.
I don't know how Ngige suddenly transformed to this. I don't know what happened to Ngige. I'm still trying to find out what happened to that man. How he transformed to this. You are talking of Rochas. Rochas is doing what he knows best. He's doing what he knows best to get into parties or into peoples. Or into people, cause commotion, cause confusion, just for his own selfish interest. He was in PDP. He went to APP. From APP, he came to ABGA. From ABGA, he's now in APC. He's now in APC. That is what his interest is looking for, just like Amechi. And they use them against their people. Well, I don't really know whether they are truly our people, because the way they treat us, I don't know whether they are truly our people. They may be agents, they may be blacklegs in our midst. I don't believe. So they use them against us. They use them against us to divide us, divide and rule. And before you know it, we cannot be one. We will not be one again. So they are all the same thing. They are all the same thing. It worked for them in the past. I hope and I pray it will not work for them now. They came into us, they pulled people up to divide us. Imagine Kensara, who had been a commissioner at 21. So when they make this all fast to them, yes, he was a commissioner at 21. When they make this all fast to them, it gets to their head, they will abandon their people. In the long run, what happens? When they start getting wiser, they will kill them. That's how they killed him, Sarawiwa. When they saw that he was getting wiser, he knew they were using him against his own people. So that is the thing. I don't know why they continue to do that and succeed. I hope they will not succeed this time. Because the greatest problem we have now is Amaechi and Okorocha. Of course, Ndige is not holding any political office. So that is, he's not holding any executive political office for now. So we may not know how far he could go or he can go. But we know that these two, when he said we are going to march, what is he looking for? You are going to march. Who's, how many people are supporting you? I think I will stop there and see what you have to say.
Well,
before I continue.
Yeah, there is nothing I have to add there, of course, because of course the what, how you know people are what they do, what they say, and who are their friends. APC in Biafra land is not welcome, because in the first place, the leaders of APC are supporters of Boko Haram, the terror network that has been unleashing mayhem on our people with impunity. And they are now coming down again using all sorts of tactics, you know, using money and other things. They know that there is poverty in the land, and they are worrying youths and hungry people with money, including forcing them, using force, coercion, to make them to believe in what they believe in. And it is our duty for us to enlighten our people on all these things. If anybody wants to take it, well, fine. If they don't want to take it, it's up to that person. But what we are trying to say here is that there is ominous danger in the horizon. The best thing for our people to do this time around, whether or not this election is held, is up to them. We are talking about Biafra restoration. And yes, the best way to respond to these people is to abstain from that election, to send a signal to the international community that Biafrans did not and will not participate in the election.
Yes. That also brings me to this this one they said is exposure of rigging, how they rigged the Ekiti election. And you begin to look at these people. Rigging is everywhere. All of them do rigging. It is only when this one overcomes this one and he wants to make a case, they will. I don't know.
When one of them loses out.
Yes, because they even went to court. Why didn't they take this one to court to show them that it was rigged? Why are they bugging us with? Because rigging will always be there. They are, as we are talking now, they are rigging. That is why these people, this certain Nigerian People's Assembly, they are going to cause trouble unless this man, unless the guy is removed, or unless the guy is arrested and the date shifted. Because the guy is also an agent of rigging. He has been putting things in place. First of all, he planned what they called voting centers. He changed voting centers and gave not a large chunk. After the hue and cry, he suspended it. I don't know whether is he going to hold on?
But you also see that the people supporting all these APC bigots are our people. You see them in Lagos where you are. How far are they contesting? I heard yesterday that they are trying to deny the Igbos, or even in the news here, that they are trying to deny the Igbos their voters' registration cards in Lagos and in other parts where the APC is having a stronghold. And so it is another April Fool. They have used their people to bolster their numbers, and now they are pushing them aside. And still you have people contesting the election in Lagos State.
Yeah,
and other parts
of
Riverland.
That is it. I know some people who have been going around looking for their centers, they no name, nothing. They go, even the treatment they will give to you, you know you are not wanted. So it is there. What you are saying is true. I've seen 1, 2, 3, 4 people like that who are Igbos, who have not been able to lay down, even the temporary one. I'm not talking about the permanent one. So it is like that. These things are planned. Rigging is, so it's because when some people, when they didn't make it, you see them beginning to complain. Even there's also the one I saw PDB complaining that the rigging is taking place now. But all those things, they are effects and not the cause of what, or the problem. The cause of the problem is what we have said, that you put people together who are not the same people. You force them to live together. You force them to do things together. So everybody is trying to outdo the other. There is no love. There is no... The focus is not the same thing. So
exactly.
The earlier they dismantle the... Some people call it the behemoth. The earlier they dismantle it, the better for all of us.
Exactly.
Because Nigeria cannot... There's no way we can make progress in this kind, in a jungle.
The problem with that corrupt edifice is that of structure right from the outset.
Yeah.
And so, when people talk about leadership problem, when people talk about economic and things like that, these are just offshoot of the main problem,
yeah.
Foundational issue, bringing together people who do not have anything in common. And who are interested in lording it over one another. It is not possible. You cannot have Islamic religion living side by side by with Christianity. It's as simple as that. It can never happen. And again, when you talk about all these things, Nigeria, as it was supposed to be a secular state. But what you are seeing here is a situation where those who say that the so-called Nigeria is their forefather's estate, single-handedly bringing Nigeria into a member of Organization of Islamic Countries or Organization of Islamic Cooperation, formerly known as Organization of Islamic Conference. And nobody is saying anything till that. Nigeria, as we talk today, is a prominent member of OIC. And nobody... Yes. Is saying anything about it, including the so-called politicians from Biafra land. They are not interested in all these things. Officially, every Nigerian is a Muslim, whether they like it or not.
Yes. And every Nigerian is a Muslim. That is why when they tell you they want Sharia, you think they don't have, they have basis. What? Because officially Nigeria is a Muslim state. You go to the constitution, you will see Sharia, you will see Islam, you will not see Christianity, you will not see any other religion. It is Islam. So officially for them, there are many of them who, this former Zamfara governor said his religion is superior to the constitution. So why should people bother him that he married an underage there?
And God forbid anybody, if you have problem in the northern part of Bizu, they will apply Sharia law to you.
Of course.
Whether you like it or not.
No, Uche, we have gone beyond that. What they want is to bring it down to our own land. Those places already, they have already taken over that place. That place, everything is Sharia. What Boko Haram is fighting so that they will subdue each and every one of us. And make sure that they force us to practice Sharia even in our villages.
And you see the man who said that he wants to bring change, Buhari, who has been, of course, recorded or noted as saying that he will not rest until Sharia is Sharia movement is instituted in the whole of Nigeria, and people are hailing him, including the so-called Biafrans. They are being his foot soldiers because money is talking.
No, and when you say money is talking, it seems as if you are if it is really money talking. How much? Just give him money to buy a Tukumbo car.
That is vanity that our people have associated with.
Just give him just more money to buy a Tukumbo car that he used to come to the village and bamboozle everybody. You see him behaving like somebody without brain. How can you say that? And for some of them, we go to Facebook, they will tell you how possible is. The other one said, how possible is it in the Nigerian constitution? I say, what constitution? That thing you call a constitution.
Do we have constitution?
It's a decree. Decree 24. Written by one man in his bedroom, Abdul Salami Abubakar. It's not a constitution. It's a decree. and they know they don't have respect for it.
And that full is of why inconsistencies.
Yes, and that is why they breach it at will. They don't have respect for it. They know it is a paper written by somebody in his bedroom. So it is not, there's no constitution. When Nigeria, when we started in 1960, yes, you can say we had a constitution because it was a country in quote that people came together and said, okay, let's do it this way, let's do it this way. We had four constitutions then. Each region had its own constitution. But along the way, they continued to erode what made it Nigeria, what made it a secular state. They continue to, one man will take over and write one nonsense and bring, people will be chanting constitution that you never, until what we have today. And I'm telling you, if anything happens and you allow them to take over again, may they will now write another one that will make sure that Hashara parties everywhere in the country. So we don't have a constitution, that is a decree. And some people will be quoting it. As you are quoting it. Is Boko Haram talking about your constitution? They say it's a yellow, they say it's a god. It means nothing to them. That what is constitution? That they have no respect to democracy, even though we don't have democracy. But even what we have, they don't have respect for it.
Exactly.
Go on.
Yeah, and you see how smart these people are. They have started in Igbo land. Through the traditional institutions in Imo State, Richard Okorocha's agent and the ones he does that directly to corrupt our traditional institutions, to bribe traditional rulers to begin to accept Islamic religion, to bastardize the whole institution. And you can see, as time went by, just last month or thereabout, Buhari was in Imo State and was crowned with a traditional or adorned with traditional attire. What pains me most is that red cap on his head, because the significance of red cap cannot be discounted with reference to a traditional institution. And the people who actually giving this red cap are also people who are supposed to know better. You see these Ohaneses, you see Yaki Kenges, all of them, they are responsible for bastardizing our traditional institution. If you are wearing a red cap, you are supposed to be an honorable and truthful man. But today, we have rogues, we have criminals parading themselves as our elders. And it baffles me. And when you talk, they will tell you, oh, do not talk. These are elder. You don't have respect and things like that. And the question is, for how long will this continue?
Well, we are the one that have condoned it, Uche, because even what you got traditional institutions, they are not traditional to us. It's part of the corruption. They introduced them and made us, slowly of us who did not know their left from their right, accepted that you have kings in Igbo land. There are places we have them, but not everywhere. You don't have them where I come from. And for me, it's an abomination for you to come out. And it's a king that somebody appointed from Abuja. Okay, from somebody's agent in your state. That agent came from Abuja, come and appoint somebody as a king. And you call him a traditional institution. And that's by the way. And now you begin to give people red cap. Red cap, we know, is for people who are ready to drop their own blood for the community, for the society, for the people. But now you take a red cap, you get the red cap and give to somebody who killed your own people, drop their own blood, simply because they want their freedom. You give him the red cap, what does it signify? So, I agree with you that it's a contamination, and they continue to go on. All those things, they came from them, they took over from where the British left. The British was colonialism, the whole world knew that, but when they were going, they handed us over to internal colonialists. And that's what they are doing. So we cannot allow it to continue. We will continue to push the barriers. We will continue. We will not get tired. We will continue to do our bit. With time, our people will know that this is the right way to go. It is not easy. It's poverty that is holding our people down. But when you say poverty, who is actually rich? Who is actually not suffering from poverty? Another thing is...
It is relative, my brother.
Yes. And it depends on an individual. You cannot say you're better for a base of porridge. That is what is keeping many of us going. So there's this other one about students living in droves. And you see that this is the game these people play. If you remember that the Chibok Girls issue, the minister of the central government then wrote the governor, so that you should not allow those children to go for that examination because they will not guarantee their security. This is one issue that people are overlooking today. But the government said, "Don't worry, we are taking care of that," and call the children, call the girls if any girls are missing anyway, because
there are no girls missing.
Set up.
As a matter of fact.
So he said that nobody should, that people should not bother, that government should not bother about that. Eventually they came to give us the news that some girls were kidnapped. So that is it. They continue to play games with the lives of people. Now you are telling children, you are telling students to stay in school when you know that they shouldn't stay in school because there's danger everywhere. They may even be the ones that will perpetrate the danger eventually. So it's a terrible situation we find ourselves, and we must continue to work hard. We mustn't relent. Especially the passing on of our hero should make us to brace up more.
Exactly.
Yes, we should brace up more. It should ginger us more and more. Can I stop there and see whether...
Yes, Emma, of course, we will be coming to the end of this program any time from now. You may have to, if you have one or two things remaining to, in fact, summarize, because we are overrunning.
Okay. I can only say that Ohanese is threatening violence. But one issue that we have not looked at when we are saying all this is about Ohanaeze, is that of leadership. People claim to be leaders, but they don't lead. Who claims to be leaders, but they don't act as leaders? We have had the Boko Haram problem since five years ago. And even in Radio Biafra, we have been warning. Even Ohanaeze was telling people to stay on. They made no arrangements to cushion the fate of people who will rush back to Igbo land in a time like this. And it is happening now. People will come and start scavenging. People will come and start suffering. But there was an article I wrote and I said, even the governors, what stops them from even asking looking for...
Emma, sorry. Let us just take this call and then you will round off for us.
Okay.
The caller on the phone, your name and where you're calling from, please. The caller on the phone... I don't know what is happening. Are you hearing me, the call on the phone? No, I don't know what's going on here. Emma, please continue, please. Continue.
So I'm rounding up by saying that... Are you hearing me, Uche?
Yes, I am. Go ahead.
I'm rounding up by saying that... by indicting our leadership, those who call themselves our leaders, whether they are governors, whether they are senators, House of Rep members, State House of Assembly members, or even all these groups, or Ohanaeze, Aki King, and all those such people that could not initiate anything that would take care of our people as they are coming back home, even if to take care of them for 1 week. They did not. It's a shame. I'm sorry to say it. It's a very big shame. Now they are calling people to come. The other day, Ohanaeze said that people should come back. Come back where? Come back where? So that's where I will rest my case this morning. That the time has come where we must look at the people we call our leaders and begin to hold them responsible. Thank you very much, and God bless.
Thank you very much. And may God bless you and bless your family. The caller on the phone, your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello?
Hello, I'm hearing you.
Hello.
The caller on the phone, I'm hearing you. Go ahead.
Hello?
I am hearing you. Go ahead.
Hello?
This is unbelievable. The caller on the phone, your name and where you're calling from, please. Caller on the phone, are you hearing me? They're obviously not listening. This is Radio Biafra Live Broadcast, and we are reaching you from London very soon, where we'll be ending this program. And this is strictly in memory of Professor Innocent Odenigbo, who will be committed to the Mother Earth today or later today. I don't know what time it is at the moment. The caller on the phone, this is the last time I will take this call. The caller on the phone, your name and where you're calling from, I don't know who is calling. Are you hearing me, the caller on the phone?
Yeah, obviously not listening. This is radio, yes,
it's unbelievable. The caller on the phone, are you hearing me?
Hello, this is Chidi Mwata calling from Hong Kong. Please, you understand that you can hear me, but probably I cannot hear you from here, but I just want to check in some little things about what you guys are talking about. I don't know what is wrong with our people. I don't know what is wrong with evil people, to be precise, you know. Nobody is getting ready. People are preparing to face what is yet to come over the election and Nigeria, or whatever what they call, I don't know, the country they call Nigeria anyway, because obviously that country is coming to an end. But what are the evil people doing about it? What are the, you know, they call them, they don't know anything, they don't know anything, but the so-called evil leaders, they are having people, and the rest of them, I don't know what they call themselves. What are they really doing about it? What are they doing to ensure the safety of ordinary Biafrans? Nothing. All they do is talk hard and fuck nonsense, take money from politicians and fuck bullshit. They are all fake. They are all beat. What I'm just saying is that I don't know what to do to wake our people up, because some people have the way of contributing to what we are doing. Some people have the way of supporting. Some people have a lot of things to do, but they don't want to wake up. I think it's not that we value different lives much. I would even say that maybe as an indigenous people of Jeffra, we inflate and to plant bombs on Jeffra soil. When Jeffra start dying, our people doesn't listen. The matter about somebody knows where are, our people doesn't listen. Unless when they start dying, it happened many times and it's about to happen again. And I don't know what and how, what will make our people to wake up until it becomes clear. They will start buying with them when the war will have started. They will not get ready before it. No, they don't. It's only when it's too late. This is my own contribution. I don't know what else to say. I can't even hear you, but I believe that you can hear me. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, my brother. You are very well on point. They are using the advantage that we don't shed blood. But when we begin to shed blood, everybody will sit up. They want us to turn into killing or maiming people. But time is come. They will all pay by themselves. Whatever a man sow, they will reap. This is Radio Biafra, and we are reaching you from London. The caller on the phone, your name and where you're calling from, please. I don't know what is wrong with this line. I must reiterate, if you want to make any call on phone, please call +447 448 109 411. The caller on the phone, your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, it's your good morning. Good afternoon from Indonesia.
Good morning, and welcome to the program. For the benefit of our listeners, please give us your name.
Yeah, so my name is Sonia Michi, and I'm from Indonesia.
Wow, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. I don't have much to say, to just say thank you for the good work that you're doing for us, for the good work of all the editorial building Biafra, and also the contributions of the Biafra all over the world. But I don't have even anything to contribute in the news this morning, just I want to go to make some announcements.
All right. Thank you. Tomorrow. Thank you. Go ahead.
Our meeting tomorrow, in Sunday, the 8th of February 2015, at Clapper Garden, at Garden Batavia. So, this is an opportunity to urge all Biafrans in Indonesia to come out and be on that meeting tomorrow. Normally, our meeting is supposed to be like Sunday. But they have a small, there's a rules a much here, so all the rules were dropped with flood, so we couldn't make it. So we're not shifting to this Sunday meeting tomorrow. So all Biafrans in Indonesia is welcome to that meeting tomorrow, 8th of February 2015, at Kopi's Place, Garden Batavia, Clapper Garden. Time is 3 p.m. So God bless you. Continue the good work you are doing for the indigenous people of Biafra. To go and be a more reward you and reward your family. And also reward the families of all the Biafrans all over the world.
Amen. And amen. Thank you. And may God bless you also. Bless your family and the family of indigenous people of Biafra where you are. Thank you. This is Radio Biafra live broadcast, and we are gradually coming to the end of this program. We thank all that have listened. We thank Imam Madabuchi, who has kindly joined us from Lagos, the heart of darkness of Bizuko, Nigeria. And of course, we will not forget the contributions, the moral, financial, and otherwise support from the teeming indigenous people of Biafra all over the world to the advancement of the cause for the restoration of Biafra, and indeed the support of all friends of Biafra, all men and women of goodwill from around the world. We all appreciate, and we want to tell you that we are all in this together, but the journey has just begun because there are enormous tasks ahead. We want to also tell our people, especially Biafrans living in the Zuko, Nigeria, to call their people, their family members who are living in northern part of the Zuko, call Nigeria, to come home, to go back home, and to abstain from this fraudulent election. Withdraw your consent to vote. Withdraw that your right to vote for the sake of restoration of Biafra. Because whether you vote or not, your vote cannot count anywhere. This is Radio Biafra AM edition, and this is strictly in remembrance of Professor Innocent Odeniwo, his contribution to the rest of the Biafra Restoration Project, and indeed to the advancement of the cause for the restoration of Biafra. He made a compelling case for Biafra restoration to the whole world. He is the one that actually said that it is not Biafra actualization, but Biafra restoration. And indeed, there is wisdom in that, because Biafra has been in existence, but the life was curtailed. And so what we are doing right now is to restore Biafra to what it was before. And we are grateful to Professor Innocent Odeniwo. And little did we know that he was making a final case for Biafra. And indeed, we are all witnesses to that. And the world are listening. The world body, the international community, the United Nations are listening. We thank you once more. And for me, Uchemi 4, it is good morning here from London. Next program is coming in the evening, 7 p.m. London time. and 8 p.m. Biafra time, we enjoy it to hook on.
Oh, okay. Mwagenta, mwagenta kani utona niluke uwakana no kide.
Zita ni ke 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 Chineke kere ụwa na arahụ si Jehovah Ogu Chukwu Neze, Neze,
Ogu Chukwu
Neze, Neze,
Kekere Uwa
Neze, Nikowe Ogu Chukwu, si Jehovah Ogu Chukwu Neze.
Ibu nanya, aku rebut, dia rebut, dia rebut, dia rebut, Yeah, no, I'm gonna get you through, okay. Jesus will tell me, let me know why.